Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hadst in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord. The specific text we consider is verse 17 of Hezekiah's song. Verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hadst in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Hezekiah, the godly king, had become grievously sick. Isaiah had visited him in his sickness with a word from the Lord. That word to him was, "Get ready to die. This sickness will lead to your death." As a result of that word from the Lord, Hezekiah prayed to God. He prayed fervently to the Lord. He prayed humbly. He prayed repentantly, with true repentance. And he prayed believingly, prayed as a godly man. Is that how we have prayed also in this week? Preparation for coming to the table of the Lord humbly, repentantly, believingly, as God's people. The Lord had heard Hezekiah's prayer and the Lord saved him. He reversed his sickness, brought him again to good health, and gave him another 15 years of life. Hezekiah wrote of that experience after he was healed, and we find that recorded in the chapter that we just read. Good section of the chapter is the record of Hezekiah's experience as one who was saved from death and from sickness by the Lord. Wrote of how he experienced that all in his soul, not simply, here's the facts, here's what happened outside of me, but he opens up, as it were, his own soul and shows us what was going on inside of him in all of this trouble. The heart of that experience is recorded in our text. "Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Beautiful expression of the forgiveness of his sins. Well, consider that this morning, that text under the theme, "My sins cast behind God's back." My sins cast behind God's back. First of all, a needed mercy. Secondly, a blessed deliverance. And thirdly, a wonderful reason. Hezekiah needed to know God's mercy, even as we need to know God's mercy. Remember, God's mercy is that which God shows to those who are in misery. Only those who are in misery and know their misery by the grace of God are shown the mercy of God. God shows His mercy to those who are in misery. And God shows His mercy not by leaving them in that misery, but by lifting them up out of that misery, lifting them up unto glory, unto blessing. That's God's mercy, shown to the miserable, delivering them out of that misery unto blessing and glory. We said Hezekiah needed to know God's misery, for he was indeed, he needed to know God's mercy, for he was indeed miserable. He was sick. That's the source, or part of the source, of his misery. He was sick. As many of us who've been sick recognize, that's a miserable situation, especially to be grievously sick. And he was sick unto death. And then to add to that misery, he was told he would die He had that looming over him. God's word, you shall die. He was miserable then, not only in his body, but miserable in his mind and in his heart, miserable of soul. And on top of that, we know also that he had no son at this time. So God came to him and spoke to him of his death without giving him a son, which seemed to indicate that God had turned his face, his mercy away from his people and was about to cut them off. And he would not then bring about the promised Messiah, the Savior. Tremendous misery overwhelmed Hezekiah as he considered these things. But then, on top of it all, and really in the middle, at the center of all of it, was his own personal guilt over his sins. He recognized he was a sinful man. That was the worst. That he was a sinner. That's always the worst misery for the child of God. We may not be sick this morning. We may not have the pronouncement of death upon us. We may not be concerned about God keeping His promise to His people. God bringing once again the Savior Jesus Christ to deliver His people from this earth and bring them to a new creation. We may not have that trouble in and concern in our souls, but we come here nevertheless as sinners this morning, and therefore with a certain misery upon us, a real misery on account of our sins and the guilt of those sins. It seemed to Hezekiah that his sins were right in front of God, that God looked at those sins, that they were all spread out there in front of God. Heaps upon heaps, piles upon piles, and the Lord looked at all of those sins, examined all of those sins, marked all of those sins, held them against Hezekiah, accounted them as his, and therefore accounted him as guilty. That's how it seems to the child of God when he looks at his sins. Again, before he goes to the Lord and clings to the cross of Christ, but as he looks at his sins alone, that's how it appears, that's how it seems, doesn't it, unto us? In this past week, as we have looked into our hearts and into our lives and examined our souls and our sins and our life, we've seen a multitude of sins, as Hezekiah did. And we see them as if they are in front of God, as if God sees them, as if God marks them and accounts them and holds them against us. And it seemed to Hezekiah, and sometimes it does to us too, it seemed to Hezekiah like God was dealing with him in light of his sins. That's how he understood all of this. God is dealing with me in light of my sin. Therefore I am sick, and therefore I will die, and therefore my line will be cut off, and all the rest. He speaks in the text of being filled with bitterness, not a resentment against God, not an anger against God, but a pain of soul. His soul was full of bitterness, full of misery on account of his sins. But as a godly man, he prayed to the Lord. He did not leave things there, could not. He prayed to the Lord. He requested of the Lord that he be forgiven. He came to the Lord in repentance, confessing his sins openly, speaking of his sins unto God, sorry for his sins, ashamed of his sins, and confessing them before his God and Savior. And God, he says, forgave him of his sins. And he puts it most beautifully. He says it's as if God took those sins and cast them behind his back. Those sins which were, it appeared to Hezekiah, in front of God, sins which God accounted and took note of, now God gathered them up and cast them behind his back so that they would not be seen, would not be thought of, would not be remembered anymore. That's the forgiveness of sins. That's a real and legitimate way to explain the experience that we have as God's people. It seems and appears to us that God takes our sins and casts them behind his back. Now that only occurs, of course. It only occurs in our minds and in our hearts and in our souls when we do not cast them behind our back. Sometimes we're prone to do that. There's sins in our life. We know there's sins in our life. We're aware of those particular sins. Perhaps we've sinned against God in some way or other, very directly. Perhaps we've sinned against a brother or sister in the church, very directly. And we know of that sin, and we know they know of that sin, but we cast it behind our back. We say, I'm not going to look at it. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to pretend it's not there. When we do that, then we will not experience what Hezekiah speaks of. God casting our sins behind his back. It's as if God says, it seems you've taken care of it already. But we haven't taken care of it, have we? When we take our sins and we cast them behind our back so that we cannot see them, it never works. They come crawling up behind us again, and they come slithering out in front of us again, and it's not long, and there they are again. And our conscience is troubled again, and besides, even when they're behind our back, we know they're back there, don't we? They're not taken away. And we know the Almighty God sees them back there. God's not fool. We can hold them behind our back, we can press them down, we can seek to bury them, and yet God knows, and we know He knows. Nor ought we attempt to cast our sins behind other people's backs so that we can attempt to stand before others and say, I'm righteous, I'm godly. But only because others don't know of our sins. Because we've convinced ourselves that as long as other people don't know about our sins, all is well. Again, we must be reminded, God knows. God sees them. They are not yet behind God's back, and neither ought you or me think that we can take hold of our sins and tuck them behind God's back. That's not our business. That's not our privilege. It's impossible. Again, we cannot convince God. We cannot fool God that our sins are gone simply by our declaring it so. By our telling Him that they are forgiven. By our announcing to God that we're justified or convincing ourselves thereof, God must, and only God, must cast them behind His back. And we know too, and we ought to know, that there's only two options. Either I, myself, must be cast behind God's back, or my sins must be cast behind God's back. If I'm cast behind Him, then He has no fellowship with me. He reveals not His love to me. That's a way of showing disgust with me. If God casts my sins behind His back, then God can take me and does and sets me in front of Him and looks me in the face and loves me, communes with me. What shall we do then? First of all, there's nothing that we can do to deal with the problem of our sins before God's face. God must work. As we said, we cannot move those sins around. God will see them unless God Himself deals with them. And God Himself did deal with them. The cross of Jesus Christ, His Son. God took your sins and my sins and put them upon His Son. Bound them up together with Jesus Christ, and then God cast my sins behind His back, which means God cast His own Son behind His back. God turned His back on Christ. That's why our Lord called out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken because my sins were upon Him, and God must either cast me behind His back as a sin-laden transgressor, or God must put my sins upon His Son and cast Him behind His back that I might abide before Him and enjoy His love. And so God did. God put our sins upon His Son, cast His Son behind His back, cast Him even into the depths of hell, so that He suffered and died for us to take away our sins from God's view, so that God does not line them up before Him and see them and take note of them and say, "These people are marked by these sins, and therefore there must be a condemnation, a judgment, an eternal destruction that must come upon them on account of their sins." God has done that, finished that perfectly, that taking away of our sins and casting them behind His back in our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it can sometimes, often, seem that that's not the case. That's the situation it was with Hezekiah. That's the way it can be with us. When we sin, it's as if we begin once again to lay out before God all our sins, and they begin to be recorded before God. That's how it occurs and appears within our conscience. And so we come to the Lord with repentance, with confession. And again, we come to the Lord with Jesus Christ in view and His work in view. And we take hold of that work by faith. And we apply that unto ourselves, unto our sins, that atoning work of Jesus Christ, that earning of righteousness for us. And again, only in the way, but always in the way of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We have in our consciousness the awareness, all my sins are cast behind God's back all those sins that were there in my mind and in my consciousness and seemed to appear before God's gaze this morning are in the way of faith. In my consciousness, cast behind God's back as if we can watch them disappear, be thrown away by God behind His back, gone from His mind and set away from His acknowledgement. And that's true of all my sins, Hezekiah says, the Word of God says. Not some of them, not the smallest of them, while the greatest of them remain. Not only the large sins, while the small ones still are there. All of my sins, all of your sins, confess it this morning by faith. All of your sins are cast behind God's back through the work of Jesus Christ and known by you by faith. They're not seen by God anymore. In fact, God is intentionally determined not to see them. He says, I will not mark them. I will not account them unto my beloved ones. They are gone. That's God's mercy toward us. That's God's blessed deliverance of us. That's how Hezekiah enjoyed it as well. He spoke in the text of being delivered in his soul from the pit of corruption. My soul is delivered from the pit of corruption. He understood that pit of corruption is the pit of destruction, the pit of hell, the pit of misery, which is for those whose sins yet remain in God's sight and remain before God. But God, having cast my sins behind His back, means there's no hell for me either. God has delivered me out of that pit of corruption in my own experience, delivered me out of that misery, delivered me out of the bitterness of soul now and forevermore. And God had granted him peace. Peace. He complains early in the text, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. He means to say, instead of peace, I had great bitterness. But then understand the full intention and meaning of the text. But when God took my sins and cast them behind His back and announced that unto me by means of faith, then I had peace. No more bitterness. No more misery. Complete and perfect peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God in our hearts and peace with God in our minds and in our souls. So that we know God is not against us. God does not have His wrath raised up over us to bring it down upon us, but God has declared peace toward us in Jesus Christ. He will not destroy us. Rather, He will bless us in His mercy and grace and love. The reason that the Lord did this for Hezekiah, the reason that God took his sins and put them behind God's back, thereby delivering him out of the pit of corruption and granting him that blessed peace, the knowledge of the forgiveness of his sins, the reason God did that, he says, was because he loved my soul. And he doesn't mean he loved my soul because my soul in itself is such a godly, righteous soul in itself. But we can understand it this way. God loved my soul in eternity as He viewed me in Jesus Christ, His Son, and in whom He elected me. In love for my soul, God put my sins upon Jesus Christ so that those sins would not lead me into the pit of corruption, fill me with bitterness and misery. In love for my soul, God took those sins and cast them behind His back because He loved me. Believe that, beloved, and be comforted by that this morning. The man, God too, but the man Jesus Christ loves your soul. As the people of God, as the covenant church of God, He loves your soul. That's why He said, "Put those sins of my people upon me. I will be cast behind thy back with their sins." And God triune, the covenant God, loves your soul. That's why He appointed His own Son to be cast behind His back. His own beloved Son to suffer, to be forsaken. He loves the soul of His people. He loves your soul. That's why He's cast all your sins behind His back. Enjoy, beloved, that confidence and enjoy that peace. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we pray apply it unto our hearts and unto our souls and comfort us thereby. Feed us now with this sacrament of the Lord's Supper to our comfort and to the glory of Thy name. Edify and strengthen us with the knowledge even revealed, set forth in the sacrament, through the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood, all our sins are cast behind Thy back and remembered no more. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.